announcement.
From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley says President Trump's latest executive order for new financial sanctions against Venezuela is intended to send a message to President Nicolas Maduro. VOA's Margaret Bashir reporting now from the U.N. in New York.
The sanctions forbid any dealings in new Venezuelan debt or equity and bar U.S. transactions with Maduro's government and with PDVSA, the state-owned oil company. Ambassador Haley told reporters that since the administration has not seen any progress on returning the country to democracy or an end to the suffering of the Venezuelan people, sanctions are necessary.
We are not going to tolerate the dictatorship he's trying to create, and we're not going to respect the sham assembly.
Venezuela's foreign minister, Jorge Arreaza, was at the United Nations Friday to meet with UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres about the situation. He told reporters afterwards that President Maduro has tried hard to have mutually respectful relations with President Trump and said Maduro would be sending Trump a letter soon. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
Arreaza also reacted by saying the sanctions are the worst aggressions in Venezuela in the last 200 years. Eye of Hurricane Harvey has moved onshore along the Texas coastline that's here in the United States. It's less than 60 hours. Harvey has gone from being a tropical storm to a Category 4 hurricane. Winds up to 250 kilometers per hour and 3-meter ocean surges happening right now. National Hurricane Center calling it a life-threatening storm. Harvey expected to pour nearly 100 centimeters of rain over a wide area of Texas during the next 3 days. Last hurricane of this category to hit the Texas coast was 14 years ago. This is VOA News. South Korea's military says North Korea's early today fired several short-range projectiles that into the sea off the eastern coast of the country in the Gangwon province. The South Korean Office of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said the projectiles flew in a northeasterly direction about 250 kilometers into the sea. Earlier, South Korea's Yonhap News Agency said a ballistic missile may have been fired. They could not cite a source. The launch is the first by the North since it test-fired a missile on July 28th that could have been designed to reach 10,000 kilometers per hour, putting parts of the U.S. mainland within its reach. A man was shot in the center of Brussels after attacking soldiers. Reuters' Nathan Frandino has the story.
Belgian security on high alert after prosecutors say a man was fatally shot after he attacked two soldiers with a knife in Brussels on Friday. Officials say the man was shot at the scene and later died from his injuries while the soldiers were lightly wounded. The suspect was not identified, but a spokeswoman for prosecutors says he was a 30-year-old man who had shouted "God is great" in Arabic during the attack. The city has been under heightened security ever since the militant attacks in Paris and Brussels in 2015 and 2016. This latest attack putting the city once again on edge.
Reuters' Nathan Frandino reporting. Somali and U.S. military officials are investigating the results of an operation conducted in southern Somalia amid confusion over whether the attack killed civilians or Al-Shabaab militants. U.S. Africa Command said in a statement it's aware of the civilian casualty allegations and are taking it seriously. Somali government initially said 8 Al-Shabaab fighters were killed at a farm in a joint operation by the Somali National Army and its international partners. The governor of the Lower Shabelle region took exception. He said, "I can confirm these people were not Al-Shabaab and they were not violent, but innocent farmers that were killed in their farms for no reason." Mohammed also said 10 civilians, including children, were killed in the operation. Government security forces in the Philippine city of Marawi have been fighting off the past 3 months to rout militants suspected of ties to the Islamic State in the region. Number of IS affiliates from Indonesia have reportedly crossed into the Philippines in support of local militants who are fighting against the Philippine military in Marawi. Analysts say IS militants, as they lose ground in Syria and Iraq, are turning to expansion in Southeast Asia. Get more news at our website, voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Welcome to Jazz America. This is Russ Davis, your host. From the 1st through the 4th of September, the jazz world gathers in the place called the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, for the 38th edition of the world's largest free jazz festival. And on this edition of Jazz America, we'll celebrate jazz in Detroit. For four glorious days over what's known as the Labor Day holiday weekend here in the United States of America, the world of jazz focuses on the place called the Motor City, the place where automobiles were made in mass numbers from years ago all the way to today, as a matter of fact. But instead of talking about automobiles and trucks, we're going to be talking about great jazz musicians, singers, and players coming by the dozens to play on five beautiful stages in a wonderful setting in downtown Detroit and right on the Detroit River, across the river, Windsor, Ontario, Canada. And it is a marvelous time of the year to be there and marvelous music to be heard by some of the greats of jazz history, from decades of jazz history and newcomers too. Well, speaking of greats of jazz history, the opening night, Friday night, the 1st of September, in downtown Detroit, right in the center of the downtown area, a stage is there that will be filled with some of the most famous players of all time, Herbie Hancock, and to kick things off, Wayne Shorter, who'll be holding court on stages all over Detroit during the 4 days of the 38th edition of the Detroit Jazz Festival. Let's begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America with a rare untitled jam recorded live with Wayne Shorter and his quintet at the 2012 Detroit Jazz Festival here on VOA's Jazz America. Bassist and vocalist Esperanza Spalding from her album Radio Music Society with her version of the Wayne Shorter composition Endangered Species. And I wanted to play that for a couple of reasons. First off, Wayne Shorter, as I said, holding court through almost every day of the 38th Detroit Jazz Festival, playing, as I mentioned, on opening night, Friday night, with his quartet featuring Danilo Perez, John Patitucci, and Brian Blade, taking the day off on Saturday, then returning on Sunday to perform on stage with Esperanza Spalding and drummer Terry Lynn Carrington, Leo Genovese, and they were to play with pianist Detroit native Jerry Allen. It would have been a homecoming for her. Of course, she passed away just weeks ago. So there'll be quite a celebration of Jerry Allen going on with the quintet featuring Wayne Shorter performing on Sunday. And then Monday, Wayne Shorter closes out his efforts at the festival with the Detroit Jazz Festival Symphony Orchestra and his quartet. Now, let's turn to another of the greats of jazz who'll be performing in Detroit this year, Herbie Hancock. I caught up with him at the Whitney Museum in New York City at a special event for this conversation, and then we'll follow that with a rare live performance by Herbie Hancock and special guests in Rome in 2004 at the We Are the Future concert.
The amazing thing about my business is that it not only affords me the ability to express what I'm feeling at the moment, but it gives me the ability to exercise teamwork, mutual respect, to exercise intuition, to exercise risk taking, and with a common goal. You know, not just that I want to be the best one on a bandstand. This is rather than jazz being a competitive field, it's totally non-competitive, and the whole object is not only just for the whole band to sound good, but for something of value to be able to be conjured up in the lives of the people that are listening to the music, so that they have an experience.
Yeah,
you know, an experience that affords them, if you will, a sense of hope, a sense of respect, and a sense of caring, and above all, like a deep feeling that comes from the heart.
Thank you.
A rare live performance from Rome in 2004, Herbie Hancock with Watermelon Man. Now, here's another of the artists that'll be coming to Detroit to perform this year. Here's trumpeter Sean Jones with New Journey from his album Improvise on Jazz America from VOA 1. He's quite an established band leader, composer, and trumpeter, is Sean Jones, but I think you might still put him in the category of up-and-coming players. He's certainly been around for a while, but he'll establish himself even further with his performance at the upcoming Detroit Jazz Festival. Sean Jones. More coming up of our salute of the 38th edition of the Detroit Jazz Festival, but first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address: jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, at, that's the at sign, voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I received from an American listener to Jazz America. He listens to the program on my own personal modern jazz radio channel online, Moja Radio, MOJARADIO.com. Just click on the Voice of America logo and you can listen to the show anytime you want to. This message came from Charles Dirks from Malden, Missouri. And that, of course, is the home state of Pat Metheny, who we honored last week and his 63rd birthday. And in honor of that program, Charles Dirks simply wrote, "Great music." Well, thank you, Charles. And if you like the music of Pat Metheny, have a feeling you'll like the music of an all-star band that'll be performing at the Detroit Jazz Festival this year on Saturday. It's the all-star quartet known as Hudson, featuring Jack DeJohnette, the legendary NEA jazz master on drums, Larry Grenadier on the bass, John Medeski on keyboards, and John Schofield on guitar. Here's their version of Up on Cripple Creek to begin this set of music on VOA's Jazz America.
wonder. Come on, feel low and under. Come on, feel under. Talking about henna, henna. I go wonder. Come on, feel low and under. Come on, feel high.
I've been attending the Detroit Jazz Festival and the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, too. I've found that these two cities seem to be like sister cities, and I've confirmed that fact with a number of the artists from both cities over the years in conversations I've had with them. It seems that every year in Detroit, a little bit of New Orleans comes to the Motor City, and this year, it's Henry Butler and the Jambalaya Band. Hope you enjoyed that version of the song Some Ico from Henry Butler and Peter Bernstein's wonderful release from a couple of years ago entitled Viper's Drag. Now, let's enjoy some conversation I enjoyed at the Detroit Jazz Festival with a certain bass player. At the 2014 Detroit Jazz Festival, I was once again asked by the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, NARIS, the people who hand out the Grammys, to conduct a one-on-one interview with a great jazz artist who'd won Grammy Awards in the past. In this case, Stanley Clarke, four-time Grammy Award winner, joined me under the talk tent for this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here. I'm always happy to talk to Russ. I just want to let you guys know I'm sure a lot of you guys know Russ, but you guys that don't, you know, Russ has been like an advocate for, you know, our Return to Forever, you know, all the bands, Weather Report, with that whole, there was a layer, there was like five bands, different bands that were there, and Russ has been an advocate from the beginning.
The preceding was a paid political announcement. Stanley, this is going to be fun. You know, first question, since we're here for the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, can you recall for the folks the first time you heard, and the winner is, and your name was part of the situation?
Well, the very first Grammy I won was actually with the group Return to Forever. I really, to be quite honest, I wasn't really back in those days. I think that was like 74. I think in those days, Grammys, wasn't something I had my sights on. We didn't really know much about it. Grammys, you know. And I remember I was in my bedroom. I had the bass in my hand, and I turned on it. Someone said, there's this music show that gives awards. And I'm looking at this show, and I see Ella Fitzgerald and a singer that was with Ella Fitzgerald. I forget his name. And it said, and the winner for best performance by a group or something like that, and they go, Return to Forever. And actually, you know what's funny? That, you know, I was like, I kind of went into shock, but then just hearing the name on television, because back in those days, jazz music wasn't something, you know, you heard on television, your name. So I hear my name, and believe it or not, right after that, I wrote School Days. I never told anybody that. What happened was, I was so happy. Oh, the guy was Mel Torme. And Mel Torme announced, you could actually look at the footage, he announced a chick's name wrong. He called him Chuck Corea. And Ella Fitzgerald said, no, Mel, his name is Chick. And so he goes, Chick Corea and whatever else, everything else. And then I was very happy, you know, to hear something like an effort that came from something that I did with others on television, you know. And so I got really happy. And I remember I picked up the bass and I went, dent, dent, dent. That was it.
Wow.
That was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were in an ebullient mood.
Yeah.
And that song is just an anthem. So you felt that ebullient feeling.
It's funny. I wrote it in 10 minutes. That thing just did it. The A section, the B section, little interlude in the middle.
Wow.
That was it.
What a story.
his breakthrough song and album from 1976 in his glorious solo career after having worked with Return to Forever, Stanley Clark, and School Days from the Live 1976-77 album. Now, here's another of the legends of jazz that'll be performing at the Detroit Jazz Festival in 2017. Here is the legendary saxophonist Benny Golson and his quintet from the album Domingo on Jazz America from VOA1.
Golson, the title cut from the 1991 release Domingo, another of the jazz greats performing at the 38th Detroit Jazz Festival. This is Russ Davis, and coming up, we'll give the ladies the spotlight as Dee Dee Bridgewater and Regina Carter, a Detroit native, by the way, give us their thoughts, and then we'll hear some of their music and more of those playing in Detroit for 2017 next hour. Stay tuned, won't you?